This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I want you to take your Bible today and stand. All of our campuses, we take our Bibles and stand. I'm so thrilled that you're here. If you're visiting with us, you're an honored guest. In Revelation chapter 20, this is what the Bible says. Verse 1, it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now look what verse 3 says. It says, "And cast him," where did he cast him? "Into this bottomless pit, and shut up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more." Let me tell you, folks, our problem, our enemy is the devil. Amen? Your enemy is not some person. Your enemy is the devil. "That he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he's going to be loose," the Bible says, "for a little season." A little season. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about the millennial reign of Christ, the millennial reign on earth of Jesus Christ. Now that word millennium, milli, actually means 1,000. Anum is years. So when we're talking about a millennium, that's an easy way of saying 1,000 years. Just like saying a decade is 10 years or a century is 100 years. So when you talk about the millennial reign, you're literally talking about the 1,000 years of Jesus Christ reigning on this earth. I remember years ago I was preaching in a certain state, and a gentleman confronted me after the service, and he said, "What you preached tonight was heresy." He said, "What you preached tonight, there was no truth to." I said, "What did I preach that was heresy?" He said, "Well, you talked about 1,000-year reign." I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "That can't be possible." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, during Noah's day, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And if it rained 1,000 years, it would flood everything." I took a deep look into his eyes and I could tell the wheel was turning, but the hamster was dead. Amen? Now, I'm talking about the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon this earth. Now, we have been talking about signs that Jesus Christ is coming back. What signs have to be fulfilled, Pastor? There don't have to be any signs fulfilled. They've already been fulfilled. Jesus Christ could literally come before I finish this sermon. They've been fulfilled. You know, you think about the rebirth of Israel. The rebirth of Israel. This nation that for 1,878 years, there was no nation of Israel. 1,878 years, there was no nation of Israel. Yet all the end time prophecies deal with Israel. And Isaiah said this, 700 years before Christ, by the way, that a nation will be born in a single day. A nation born in one day? How could that happen? Well, I'll tell you. It happened on May the 15th, 1948, because Israel was regained statehood. And that nation was born in one day, just like God said that it was going to happen. Folks, think about nuclear weapons. Have you noticed the news lately? You've got President Trump. He's trying to meet with a North Korean leader. Trump's up here. He's down there. They're just not seeing things eye to eye. He's trying to get him to denuclearize because trying to get him to give up his nuclear weapons, which, by the way, he's not going to do it. And there's 9 countries that have nuclear weapons, and I'm convinced probably not any of them are going to give up their nuclear weapons. But look what the Bible, Zechariah prophesied. Zechariah prophesied that there would be nuclear weapons. And certainly there are. Not only the rebirth of Israel, not only can we look and see the nuclear weapons, but then there's worldwide television. Worldwide television. Revelation 11 and 9 said that two witnesses would lie in the streets. And it says, look, people, kindreds, and tongues, and nations shall see their dead bodies. Well, their dead bodies are only going to be there 3 days and a half. How could everybody possibly see their dead bodies? Keep in mind, this was written in 90 A.D. I'll tell you, he didn't have the semantics to address it. I'll tell you how they will see their dead bodies. Worldwide television, satellite, it's all come into play just like God said that it was going to come into play. Let me tell you another prophecy. It's a collapse of the Soviet Union. At the collapse of the Soviet Union in the early 90s, that union became 15 different nations. And that allowed Russian Jews to return back to their homeland in Israel. So Russian Jews, by the hundreds of thousands, returned back to their homeland in Israel, just like God said they were going to in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 7 and 8. That could not have happened unless the Soviet Union collapsed. But God said it was going to happen, and it happened. By the way, folks, this is more up to date than tomorrow's news. You know what's going to happen? Get in this book, and you'll know what's going to happen. Then there's the mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. It says, and he causeth all, small and great, rich and poor, to receive a mark. That word mark comes from the Greek word haragma, which means a tattoo. I'm not saying, folks, that anything's wrong with having a tattoo. If you don't have a tattoo, have a tattoo. But I'm just saying it's apparently going to be some type of tattoo, some kind of mark. You know what was interesting? I was reading, and Sweden has developed a microchip. The microchip actually goes between your thumb and your index finger. It's put into your skin, and it's about the size of just a small grain. But from that microchip, you can make financial transactions. From that microchip, it stores all kinds of information. Many companies are using those in Sweden, microchips, because they're easier than a card. They're easier than a phone. It's a microchip. Recently, USA Today came out with an article entitled, "You Will Get Chipped." Now, so Pastor, what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to come back. And by the way, when he comes back, ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back not to get Methodists, not to get Baptists, not to get Pentecostals, not to get Catholics, not to get Presbyterians, not to get Episcopalians. He's not coming back for any group. Don't get caught up in any group. I've heard people say, well, you know, my name's on the roll at the church, and I shake the preacher's hand. My friend, your name might as well be on a barn door and shake a donkey's tail. That's not going to get you anywhere. That really doesn't matter. What matters is you have a relationship with God. The great apostle Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know in what I believed or which I believed. It's not a what or which, it's a whom. It's a person. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And what we need more than anything is a personal relationship with Him. Folks, we don't come to church because it's this denomination or that denomination. We come to church to worship the Lord. We come to church to exalt Jesus. We come to church to hear the Word of God. Don't get caught up in all that. You say, well, I'm all into that. Well, you're so narrow-minded a gnat could sit on the end of your nose and kick both eyeballs out. No, don't get caught up in that. So Jesus is going to come back. Church is going to be raptured out. We're going to be gone. The Antichrist will rise on the scene. He'll bring a false peace, 3.5 years of false peace. But then the next 3.5 years will literally be hell on earth. You know, this book, I wish I could take the parts I like and say, oh, I like that, let's preach that. I don't like that part. Let's tear that part out. But folks, we can't do that. It's either all the Word of God or none of it's the Word of God. And this period, this tribulation period that we don't like to talk about, is going to be a horrible time. Hail, hailstones will fall from the sky, weighing 100 pounds. The Bible says the bottomless pit will open up and demon spirits will come out of the bottomless pit. And they will sting people with the sting of a scorpion for 5 months. And people will beg to die and death won't come. People will go to their water faucet to turn the water on and blood will flow from the faucet. 1/3 of all people will be killed because of war. Millions on top of millions will literally starve to death. People will get boils and sores on the body, their bodies, and the pain will be so excruciating, they will literally gnaw their tongues out. It's that horrible place. It's that horrible time. This is all I'm going to say, folks. I was born at night, but not last night. And I realize this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. And I've already made reservations not to be here. I've made reservations. I'm not going to be here because God didn't tell me he's going to get me through all this. He didn't promise me preservation. He promised me evacuation. He said, if you know me, I've not appointed you to wrath, but you're going to be gone. We're going to be gone. You say, Pastor, what ends all this? The Battle of Armageddon that I preached about last Sunday. If you did not hear the message, go back, listen to last Sunday's message. Go online, listen to last Sunday's message. It will climax. It will end the Great Tribulation period. What happens after the Battle of Armageddon? That's what I want to talk to you today. And I want to give you three things that's going to happen. Number one, the forceful restraint of Satan. The forceful restraint of Satan. Look what Jesus is going to do. Well, look what the Bible says. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and bound him 1,000 years. Now look what it says. Verse 3. Get this down. Jesus comes back. You say, well, first of all, Pastor, who's the one that comes back? Who's the one that comes back? Well, all we got to do is read Revelation chapter 1. Look what it says. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. The one that's going to come back and bind Satan is none other than Jesus Christ. Amen? Because look here, folks. He's the one that has the keys of hell and death. Satan doesn't even have the keys to his own joint. Amen? Jesus is the one that has the keys of hell and death. Now, here's what's interesting. The Bible says he's going to come back, and he's going to put Satan in the bottomless pit. See, many times when people think of hell, they think of hell, the lake of fire, the bottomless pit, and they think they're one place. But they're actually three different places. There's a place called hell. There's a place called the lake of fire. There's a place called the bottomless pit. So, Pastor, it really doesn't make sense to me. So if a person dies and they don't know Christ, they go to hell. Get this down. I'll talk about it. But if I committed a crime today in this county, I'm in Lamar County, what would they immediately do? They would take me to jail. I'd stand before the judge. I'd be sentenced. And then perhaps I'd go to prison. God's plan's just the same. Person does not know Christ and die. They go to hell. But at the great white throne, they're resurrected. They stand before Christ. Then they're cast into the lake of fire. But get this down. Hell, the lake of fire, and the bottomless pit are three different places. Revelation chapter 9 talks about the bottomless pit. You say, Pastor Benny, what's the bottomless pit? It's the abiding place for demonic spirits. What's the bottomless pit going to be like? Well, this is what I know from the scripture. Look what it says. And Jesus asked him, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. Jesus encounters a man, get this down, folks. And he's literally demon possessed. He's demon possessed. Can a Christian be demon possessed? Unequivocally, no. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I know your husband acts like it sometimes, but he's not. If he's a Christian. Now look, he encounters this man by the name of Legion, and they, get that down, and they besought him. Notice he didn't speak, the demon spoke. A person that's demon possessed has little control over anything they say or do. Notice the demon spoke, and this is what they said. Don't send us into that bottomless pit. I don't know what's in that bottomless pit, but I know the demon spirits that had been there didn't want to go back. They said, we've been there, and by the way, we don't want to go back to that bottomless pit. We've been there, and by the way, we don't want to go back. Let me tell you something. If the lids of hell or the lake of fire could be lifted open, the people would say, whatever you do, don't come here. Don't come here. I'll go to hell and it'd be a party. All my friends will be there. It won't be a party. It won't be a party, I assure you. You won't be Big Bad Leroy Brown once you get there. It's a horrible place. We don't want to go back there. Look what the next verse says. And there was a herd of many swine feeding, a bunch of pigs feeding. On that mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. We don't want to go back to the bottomless pit. Let us go into those pigs. Let us go into Porky. Let's go into those pigs. And look, he suffered them. And when those demons went into those pigs, look what happened. They ran down that hill violently. And they went into a lake. And those pigs were choked. That's where we get deviled ham. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. Listen. I see the forceful restraint of Satan, but I see the future reign of the Savior. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. See, folks, right here is what you've prayed for. You say, oh, I've never prayed for the future reign of the Savior. Oh, yes, you have. I bet you have. Well, when did I pray it? Right here. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom's going to come. His kingdom's going to come to this earth, and he's going to rule and reign. Now, who's going to be here? First of all, we're going to be here. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? We're going to be here. Well, when Jesus Christ comes back for the rapture, we're going to be with him 7 years. And at the end of that 7 years, we're going to come back with him. That's why when I give that little colloquialism, I say we're going to leave here like Superman, come back like the Lone Ranger. That's what the Bible says. Revelation 19 and 14 says we're going to mount up. And we're going to come back with him. And we're going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. But not only will we be here in the glorified bodies, and most theologians believe that when we're in these glorified bodies on this earth with him, we can go back and forth from heaven to earth. You say, Pastor, I don't know about it. No, I don't really have a problem with it. Get real Jesus in the glorified body, walk through walls. Perhaps we can. But not only will we be here in these glorified bodies that can never sin, but they will be people here in fleshly bodies that survived and lived through the tribulation. There'll be children born during this time. What's this time going to be like? Well, there'll be perfect peace. I want to hit these right fast. There'll be perfect peace. The lion will literally lay down with the lamb. The wolf and the lamb, the Bible says, will lie together. A little child, folks, it's going to be perfect peace. A little child will lead a lion. A little child will play with snakes. Why, folks? Because Satan is bound. Because Satan is bound. Why? You know, a gator might even like a bulldog. Who knows? But according to Isaiah 11, 6 through 9, there'll be perfect peace. Not only will there be perfect peace, the ground will no longer be cursed, so the desert will bloom. The desert will blossom like a rose, the Bible says in Isaiah 35 and 1. There'll be healing. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6 says that the blind's going to see. The deaf's going to hear. The lame are going to walk. It's going to be wonderful. There'll be economic prosperity like there's never been, according to Jeremiah 31, 12 through 14. There'll only be one faith. It'll just be Jesus. We'll be looking to no other. The temple is going to be rebuilt, according to Zechariah chapter 6, 12 and 13. And it's all going to be about Jesus. Just worship Jesus. You know, folks, I'll tell you this. That's all I'm going to say. There wouldn't be one worship war if it was all about Jesus. The churches wouldn't have one worship war. I like this worship. I like that. No, no, no. There wouldn't be one worship war if it was all about Jesus. Because we just want to lift him up anyway. We just want to praise him anyway. We just want to give him the honor and the glory anyway. It's not what Benny Tate likes or Benny Tate don't like. Oh, folks, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Amen. It's just lifting him up. Just praising him. He deserves the glory and the honor. Just praising him. You know, folks, I think this week, I've got a funeral Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But you know, during the millennial reign, it'll be long life. Do you realize, according to Isaiah 65, verse 20, if a person dies 100 years old, they'll say, wasn't he so young? Many people will live the entire 1,000 years. Long life. There'll be no babies dying. It's going to be wonderful. Now, here's what I want you to see. You see the forceful restraint of Satan. You see this future reign of the Savior. Pastor Benny, what ends it? What ends this 1,000 years? It's going to be wonderful. We're going to be here. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus. What ends it? The final rebellion of Satan. The final rebellion of Satan. See, look what the Bible says. And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Keep in mind, folks, you've had 1,000 years of perfect peace, but the devil is so powerful that he deceives people and he'll persuade them to follow him. Even after this 1,000 years of peace and perfection. But look what's going to happen. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city Jerusalem Satan one last time will come against Jerusalem. Satan one last time will come against Jesus. And the Bible says that God will rain fire down from heaven and destroy them. But let me tell you something. Not only will he rain fire down from heaven and destroy them, but when the fire comes down from heaven, it will purify the earth. It will purify. Somebody said God destroyed the earth with a flood. Did he destroy the earth or did he destroy everything on it? He purified it. God is going to purify the earth. Fire is going to come down from heaven and purify this earth because he's getting it ready for something. He's getting it ready for heaven. You say, Pastor, where's heaven going to be? Right here on this earth. You say, I can't get that out of the Bible. You're right, it's there to stay. Yeah, it's there to stay. You say, where do you get it? Look what Revelation 21 says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. See, folks, let me tell you something. The end of the devil is Revelation 20:10. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's the end of the devil. He's where God planned for him to be. God prepared a place for him in Matthew 25:41. The lake of fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. I want you to know something, folks, today. I've got great news. The lake of fire, hell, is not prepared for you. It's not prepared for you. How could a loving God prepare this for me? A loving God didn't prepare this for you. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. Here's the good news. Hell is not prepared for you, but heaven is prepared for you. Hell is not prepared for you, but heaven is prepared for you, according to John 14:1-3. Now, in light of this, say, Pastor, in light of this message, this end time message, how does this apply to me? Four words and I'm done in 2 minutes. Number one, examine. This is what I'd say to every person. Examine yourself. Examine your faith. Examine your heart. Notice I didn't say not to. Don't examine somebody else. Examine yourself. In light of everything that you've heard, examine yourself. Number two, encouragement. What I mean by encouragement, folks, we win. We win. If you know the Lord, we win. Number three, expectation. It could happen at any time. Adrian Rogers said, live like Christ died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back this afternoon. And number four, evangelism. This ought to motivate us to just be nobodies. It's telling everybody about somebody that can change anybody. Not one time does the Bible tell a person who doesn't know Christ to go to church. Not one time does it tell a lost man, an unsaved man, to go to church. But over and over, ladies and gentlemen, it tells us to go out and get them. Go out and reach them.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.